That first auction in Muskogee led to other auctions.
Yes,
so let's follow that trail.
Okay, so we had that first one in 64, and then he built his collection back up, and he said, you know, he said, I want to put in a museum down in Arlington, Texas. So he said, we're going to call it Wings and Wheels Over Texas. And he had some airplanes he hung up, and we had these cars. And my sister Jean was instrumental. I was in college at the time. And so we had an auction down there. And it's in that area in Arlington where they put a lot of, I think there's a amusement park there and different things like that. But back then there was absolutely nothing. So he put it in and we had this first auction, and I was in school, and he said, now we need some people to work. See if you can get anyone that would like to come to Dallas, and we'll pay their airfare here, and they can come and stay for the weekend, and we'll pay them a little money, he said, which it was, and they can work this auction. So I said to my friends, would any of y'all like to go and work at a car auction? Of course, no one knew what in the hell I was talking about. So Oakes said he would go, and a couple of other people did. Well, yes, they thought that would be fun. So we went, and we had this auction, and again, had a lot of people from Europe, because those beautiful, what I call the heavy iron, the 30s, 40s, those beautiful Packards, beautiful Duesenbergs, wonderful cars, plus Daddy loved the early ones, like the 03 Fords and the Wintons and all of those. They came over for it. We had a marvelous time, and that was the first auction I think Oaks ever worked. So that was pretty early in, and we had two auctions. The first one we had was at Dallas, at the fairgrounds, at that old fairgrounds. We had it there first, but then we moved it to Arlington for the second one. And then Daddy said, you know what? What the hell? He said, why are we doing this here? We have one of the finest buildings in all of the world, located in Tulsa, Oklahoma, with it was called the IPE building, mm-hmm. at the time. And he said, it's the largest free span building in this part of the country. And he said, let's just have the auctions there. So we turned it over, and we started hosting the auctions there. And let me tell you, they loved it. It was all indoors. It was all dust-free. It was all climate-controlled. It was secured. It was a fantastic building. It was run well and has been through these many, many years. And we were in there until we sold the company. We had it, and it was our flagship auction that we held once a year there.
Right. And so we're talking years. That's
Like 73, 74, until we sold the company in, 17?
In 2017.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And who bought the company?
It was bought by this company out of Canada called Ritchie Brothers, R-I-T-I-C-H-I-E, Ritchie Brothers. And they are in the heavy equipment, and mostly it's all online stuff. And they're worldwide, biggest one in the world. And they wanted to get into the collector car business because it was making a lot of money. So they had approached us, one of a number that had approached us to buy it. And the minute they bought it, they said, well, you know, we don't really like the way you do business. We think instead of having four auctions and appealing to the $40,000 to $120,000 car person, we want to have it all no reserve, and we want it to be just like Barrett Jackson, but we're going to be better than Barrett Jackson, and we're going to do this and that and the other, and we're going to focus on one or two auctions a year. And then it collapsed on them. And they had a couple of auctions. They weren't good. And then COVID came, and it was a marvelous excuse to get out of the business.
Wow.
I believe. I don't know. And nothing's been done since then. But, you know, they bought us for one purpose. But then the people who came in, they brought in some additional people to manage it. And they wanted it to have the same footprint as Barrett Jackson. And that was not really our clientele. Our clientele was more of the I would say anywhere from a $15,000, $20,000 on up to $200,000, $250,000. That's where we were.
But Barrett Jackson, of course, is very successful.
Barrett, we went to the first sale he ever had out in Phoenix, and it was on the corner of Camelback and what they called at the time Rural Road. And mother and daddy came out. I was in school. Gene and I, by this time, were both in school at the University of Arizona. And daddy took out a couple of cars to sell and became very good friends with Russ Jackson and Tom Barrett, which we all did. And we're very, because it was early. I mean, it was a very small unit that was interested in this at that time. And so we became friends with all of these early people, Bill Hara and that group. We all hung out together. We all, and by that I mean my parents did, and by attrition, those of us who were interested in the car business would filter along, and so we went to that first auction, and Daddy had one of the cars he took was a boat tail Rolls Royce that was copper bodied. By a boat tail, it comes back to a point in the back like it's a boat. And people kept touching it. We had to frantically, before it went across, we were out there buffing that sucker, trying to get it to shine. So, because every time you put a fingerprint on it, it would blossom into a tarnish. So, but we had a lot of fun, and that was the very, really beginning of it. And they were both brilliant men, and they had marvelous taste, both Tom Barrett and Russ Jackson. They had wonderful taste in cars. And the cars that were being collected then were turn of the century on up into what I call the heavy iron, the Duesenbergs, the Rolls Royces, the 30s, the 40s, the Packards, the Cords, I hate to leave out names because somebody would be yelling at me about it, but at that time, cars of my generation were just considered used cars.
Yes, right. I noticed that Roy Clark, who I've interviewed for mm-hmm. VoicesOfOklahoma.com, he had quite a car collection
yes.
himself.
Mm-hmm.
And let's talk about this, because this goes back to an auction. The story is in 2019, that some of the cars he had, a 1963 Pontiac Bonneville, Safari Station
nice
Wagon,
yeah.
77 Lincoln Continental, mm-hmm. 61 Plymouth Fury, a 72 Jeep CJ5, those are some of the cars that he sold.
Yeah. Lovely.
And then this brings back memories to some people. In that auction, a 1961 Porsche 356B 1600 Ruder Cabriolet.
Yes.
That's out of my league. That's why.
Yeah.
But I was a Ford and Chevy kind of guy. But he was a 60 Chevrolet Corvette, Chevrolet Bel Air, Packard Woody Wagon, 1948.
Yes. Yes.
And we can go on and on with these, of course, but these wonderful cars that...
And now it's a business, you know, it's television, and they have all sorts of knockoff shows, which are wonderful for it. And I will say this, when you have someone, and I think this is one of the things that both my parents liked, is they were small town people, and they didn't care if you were in a ritzy car or in a old car. You know, remember the car Jack Zink always drove? You know, it didn't look like much, but it had the engine in it that would take you from here to the moon. Anyway, if you saw someone in like a mechanic zip up, he could be Bill Hara. Or he could just be Joe Blow that has two cars. And you never knew. And Daddy always said, you got to get down and scratch with the chickens.
Yeah.
Meaning you had to get down with the real people that were there.
Yeah.
And he was just as happy sitting in the shade under a tree talking to some mechanic as he was to the president of ABC, Leonard Goldenson. He was just as happy.
And that's what made him so unique.
Well, he was interested. They, like I say, I was lucky. I had two parents who liked to have fun, and they were very, very interesting people. He loved cars. He loved boats. He liked old boats. Like we had a 1948 Owens. It was about a 40-footer wooden hull boat. And then we had a Chris Craft, a 53 Chris Craft that was beautiful. That we kept those on Fort Gibson Lake. And he and my Uncle John had dug out the area that they wanted for their boat docks before it was all filled in, so that they'd have a deeper channel there. And then Uncle John had his boats there, and my Uncle Bill Ray had his boats and a house there, and we had our big boat there. So he liked those boats, and he loved airplanes. We always had a plane flying.
Back to the auction. You and your husband, Richard Oakes.
Yes.
By the way, where does Seven Oaks?
It's English. It's about 30 miles outside of London. He did his ancestry over there. And it's about 30 minutes outside of London, very close to Chartwell, which is where Winston Churchill's home is. And it's a small town, well, probably not so small now, that a foundling was found under an oak tree, and he went on to become the Lord Mayor of London, and that he was named, since he was foundling or an orphan, they gave him the name of Seven Oaks because of the Seven Oaks there. And there's a big manor house there and everything. And we went back with his parents one time, and they had us on the front page of the paper.
All right. So, but you and Richard, you took over the auction.
Yes. We always worked the auction. I worked it from the very first one on.
But then,
and then we took it over from Daddy. And but he still worked with us because he had to keep his fingers in the pie. And we had a Barca lounger out at the office. And Oaks, we had a big partner's desk. It's still there. And Daddy sat on one side of the partner's desk, and Oaks sat on the other side. And they would work the phones, as they called it. And they would call people, and they would go out on sales calls, and they made actually a marvelous team. It was wonderful because of the way Daddy was a natural salesman. You know, that's what he did. But he also, more than that, is he understood the cars and the love for the cars. So it was just a special passion of his. He drove a different one every day.